Hello, and welcome to Reflections on Life. I'm Liz Bobo. I served in public office in Howard County for over 25 years, and when I retired, I found myself with the awareness that I didn't want to do that kind of work anymore, and yet I was sort of adrift and did not want to have a strict schedule. I wanted to be free to do my days the way I wanted to. So I wrote down a list of different categories in my life that I carry around with me just to keep some sort of a frame of reference so that I don't just drift off into space. And those categories are reflections on home in Columbia, reflections on Zach, my grandson, reflections on Baltimore, my hometown, reflections on public policy, reflections on our planet beyond the United States, and reflections on our universe. So just quickly, for this month, reflections on home in Columbia. Today I'm interviewing the director of the Columbia Archives, Leela Sewell Williams, and we will learn a lot about Jim Rouse's Columbia and what he planned here for us in this garden for growing people. Reflections on Zach, my grandson, who died at a very early age of 19, college student, died of brain cancer. And spring, I particularly think of Zachary because he loved spring and he loved spring flowers even when he was a 19-year-old beautiful, gorgeous young man. He loved to go out and pick spring flowers. Reflections on Baltimore, my hometown. What comes to mind this month is I certainly hope we're going to be successful in keeping the Preakness horse race here in Baltimore rather than letting that race leave the city where it's been since its inception. My father used to take me to that race when I was a little girl, and I have fond memories of it. So I hope that our elected people have the courage to keep that here in Baltimore, rather than have it taken away to another place. Reflections on public policy, what's primary in my mind at the federal level right now with so much going on is that we don't let the effectiveness of our healthcare system be diminished by legislation in Washington. We simply cannot allow that to happen. We need to protect the healthcare system that we have and to work on improving it, much less detracting from it. Reflections on our planet beyond the United States. What has attracted my attention most in the last month is the amazing dignity and calm with which the president of New Zealand dealt with the murders and atrocities in her country. I think she set a standard by which leaders all over the world can model themselves after her compassion, her dignity, and her calm. And reflections on our universe, this time of year, when I wake up in the morning, I can look up above my headboard and through the window above the headboard, and in the early morning, about 6 o'clock, see Venus just as bright as can be. And that's just a beacon to me of the light that we need in our world to live lives of love and dignity rather than hatred and harm. So with that, Leela, welcome.
Thank you.
I'm so glad to have you here with me today. Leela, how long have you been in the position of are you called the archivist for Columbia?
No, actually.
What is your title?
I'm the manager of the Columbia Archives. I actually do have an archivist on staff, Robin Emmerich, who has been here for over 21 years, really establishing the formal policies and procedures that have enabled the archive to continue to function as a professional program. So, but I've been in this position for a year and 3 months. So I started here in January of 2018.
I'm so happy that you're here in the job, and I really mean that. I mean that, you know, from deep in my heart, really. I love Columbia. I knew Jim Rouse. I had the honor, it was truly an honor, not just a privilege, but an honor of knowing that man and how he so personally played a role in designing Columbia, the physical plan and more than that, I think, even more important than that, the social values, the inclusion, his insistence on absolute inclusion of people in all areas of the new town that he developed. So it's been a long time now, and there are many people in Columbia who have never met Jim Rouse. I'm sure there are a lot of people living in Columbia who don't know who Jim Rouse is now. And I can tell from the few conversations that we've had, Leela, that you have really immersed yourself in what this man's intentions were for this community. So you live in Columbia. Where did you live? You've told me, and I can't remember.
No, I live in Laurel, Maryland, so I do live in Howard County.
Okay.
Yes.
And how long have you been in this job, and what is your favorite thing about serving as head archivist here in Columbia, Maryland?
So this year and 3 months has really proven to be a huge educational process for me, which to me is always one of the most exciting aspects of any work is the learning process. Because if you're not learning, then that means that you potentially are stuck, which I'm never interested in being stuck. So, to some great level, with much humility, I admit that I did not know the Jim Rouse story. Of course, I knew Rouse Parkway and spent a lot of time at Columbia Mall, saw the statues, but really didn't know who this man Jim Rouse was. Even had my daughter performing at the Jim Rouse Theater as a 4 or 5 year old. Well, actually, she was 9. And still didn't know who he was. So when I applied for this position and doing my own research, I did come to realize that my exposure to the Columbia story was from high school when I had a very close girlfriend. I'm from Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, and her aunt and uncle lived in Columbia. And they had this almost utopia of this place they lived in. And I was like, what is this, Columbia, Maryland? But that was my only exposure there. So having been here now in this position for a year and a half, I've done a lot of reading on him, the institutions, his motivation. And so I'm still learning. So I would say that's been the greatest aspect of that. But in addition of to me learning, I feel like I have a personal obligation to share the story because it's such a rich story. And, you know, of course, we always focus on Mr. Rouse because he was the visionary, but he had a lot of people who believed in the same thing he believed in. And as you and I have spoken about, I mean, to found Columbia in 67, when the ink was still drying on the 64, you know, Civil Rights Act, it's just an amazing feat. You know, and especially in Howard County with its historic issues at times, it really does speak to his determination to kind of change the landscape on various levels.
I think it's very clear that you really are taken with the Rouse story and that you really get, and that's somewhat possibly pretentious of me to think that I'm a person who can determine who really gets it, but I do think you really do get. I knew Jim Rouse, and I didn't know him. Actually, I grew up in the Catonsville area, not far from the boundary of Columbia. And when I married, I moved out here with my husband, and we had 2 children. And we lived in a community called Columbia Hills, which was right across Route 108 from the Columbia boundary. And I had no idea that Rouse was out buying up these thousands and thousands of acres. But when he did, and when Columbia began, and Wild Lake was the first village center, I used to go up there as a young mother and take my kids with me. Many of the women who lived in Wild Lake, which was the first village, they moved here from out of state. You know, they knew about Jim Rouse's plans, and they left their homes and with their families came here to be a part of this experiment in growing people, which was one of the ways Jim Rouse described Columbia. And I couldn't get over how fortunate I had been that it was just by chance that I happened to move, you know, right near there. So Columbia has had a huge impact on my life, and Jim Rouse has as well. But one of the things I've learned from you, Leela, is the distinction that there are different kinds of archives. And there are conventional archives and institutional and organizational. Help me understand what the distinction is that you make in archives.
Well, I'll use Columbia Archives as the premise for this discussion. So Columbia Archives is a community archives. True, we are housed within the Columbia Association, which is a phenomenal parent company for us. They, too, all of our administrative operating costs. It's a magnificent part of the institution of the Columbia Archives, as we do fall within the Department of Community Services. So it's a, you know, it makes sense. That's where we fit. So unlike an institutional archive where we would just document the history or the institutional memory of an organization, the community archives, it does a little of that in a lot of the community. So therefore, we do have organizational records from institutions that were founded in Columbia, but it's really the story of the community that helped develop those institutions. So we are not the institutional archive for Columbia Association. However, we do have records that reflect Columbia Association because it plays such an integral role in the founding of Columbia and the establishment of Columbia. But we really are the memory repository for the community of Columbia. So by definition, the Columbia Archives collects and documents the planning, development, and continued physical, institutional, governmental, and cultural growth of Columbia, Maryland, which of course we also have Mr. Rouse's papers. So it's different in that we're kind of a catch-all, but that not in a negative way. Actually, I feel like it provides a more comprehensive view of what a community looks like, where there's some institutions that appropriately so just document an institution or a field. You know, there's dance archives, there's science archive. I mean, there's medical archives, there's all kind of archives that way. But we are really documenting the community.
I don't know if you've been around long enough to have much of a sense of this, but I bet you do from my three conversations that I've had with you now. How many people are aware of the archives?
Well, it was founded basically in 1982 as a part of a 15-year, the anniversary of Columbia. Mm-hmm. And so I feel that a lot of people know about it, but may not necessarily understand what it is. And it's interesting because Columbia Archives, it almost kind of serves like a local history repository in that we do local history. We also document the history. We do public programming. So I think a lot of the mature community who was here since the founding, and as I have come to appreciate, the pioneers of Columbia, but also I think they may, and their children have are aware of it. But I just don't know in what capacity the community at large understands what the work that we do beyond just, you know, keeping the record. But we also allow the record to tell the story in our public programming.
And the archives moved, right, from the American Cities building, which is, interestingly enough, will be going down soon. But I visited you in your location over in East Columbia now, and it looks like it's a very good space. My husband was on the planning board in the very early days of Columbia, and I've been talking about you and the archives, and I think I've learned more about the archives in the last 2 months than I learned in the prior 40, 50 years. But he looked on your website and was so pleased to read the description of the collection grew with donations from community activists such as Florence Bain, Priscilla Hart, Lloyd Knowles. Lloyd Knowles is my husband.
Right.
And he was so pleased. He turned those documents in, I don't know how many years ago now. And
1984.
Okay, 84. What a memory. And I know he has not gone back to look at them. And on occasion, when he's having conversations with people about his early days on the planning board, laying out the plans for Columbia, and he has said, you know, I wonder what they've done with them. I ought to go over there and see. You know, I wonder what they've done. So he was just so pleased to see that it's you are paying attention, to put it mildly. And I knew Barbara Kellner. Barbara, I've known for many years, and she served as the director of the archives for many years. Mm-hmm. And I must say that I think in the short time you've been here, you certainly have, you know, caught up, more than caught up, on the history of this place. And I can tell from our conversations that you really feel it, I'm going to use this word, in your heart and in your gut, the significance of this community, because it truly was a breakthrough. Rouse was so far ahead of his time. Yeah. And it's is it like a thrill for you to have this realization that
It really is, you know, when, and I, just to insert a very short, funny story, that when I came in to interview for the position, and there were three women sitting across from me in the interview, one being Ms. Kellner, mm-hmm. and my immediate supervisor and the director of community services, I immediately got within the first 30 seconds to a minute of the interview that if they did not like me, I was not going to get the job. And when I say like me, it wasn't necessarily that, you know, personally, it was more so what would be the appropriate fit, because this is a very living history. And so if I was not going to be able to engage myself, enjoy it, and be able to allow it to also for me to become a part of the story and for me to share the story, then I wasn't going to be a good fit. I mean, Columbia is just a very hands-on, active community. And so the person maintaining the history, and it's not about me tooting my own horn, really, the person maintaining the history would have to be as engaged and excited about telling that story. And I got that immediately. So I came into, if you don't mind, I could just kind of talk a little about how I came into the archive field.
I'd like you to do that.
So I've always loved history. Have a very strong family lineage myself who love history. So it's just kind of what we did in my household. So when I went to undergraduate and I told my father I was going to be a professional history major, his eyes rolled back. And what are you going to do with that? You know, I'm like, but I have a love of history because of you. So I didn't want to teach. I had the opportunity to be exposed to archives through the Department of Archives and History in South Carolina, where I went to school, got to work in the State Historic Preservation Office, and fell in love with archives and fell in love with preservation. And so when I went to graduate school, I went to Duquesne University in Pittsburgh and got to concentrate in archives as a part of my MA in history program. And really with that, I decided that I would go into this field to preserve Black history and culture. And so for most of my career, I've done that. I've worked at the Schomburg Center at the, New York City and Howard University, the Moreland Spingarn, preeminent institutions, outstanding collections. But I have to tell you, this Columbia Archives is an amazing bridge for the work that I've done. I really feel like I've been able to focus on something that's very dear to me, which is Black culture and history, just because it's very rich and it really has its own, you know, story and uniqueness. But this Columbia story pulls everything together. So this diversity of the community, all the stories culturally, economically, it really enables all of us to come together and have a more communal story. And that's what I love about this position, that I feel like even for me, it's been a transition into me taking the skills, the technical skills of being an archivist, and being able to tell even a larger story that's very inclusive. And so even though, you know, for the reasons that I came into the field, and my first opportunity to be a professional archivist was at my alma mater as the first university archivist at South Carolina State University, which was wonderful. And with that experience, I got to document the community of Orangeburg. So I had that experience, but this one is on a much more intense level. And so it's very exciting to me.
Well, I can tell you it's very exciting to me that you're here. And one of the reasons why I think it's so important that we have an archivist in Columbia who really appreciates, and I don't think it's an exaggeration for me to say that you love learning this history about this place. And it would be important at any time, but right now, Colombia is undergoing a huge growth spurt. And it may last, it may grow into even a bigger growth spurt than it is right now. Some people are concerned that it's too much too fast. I could easily fall in that category, but I've chosen to keep an open mind and to be approach it. What was one of Jim Rouse's quotes? Approach life positively with, and that's what I've chosen to do with following the growth that's taking place in Colombia. But I think it's so important that the people who live here and the people who serve as leaders in the community, the members of the Colombia Council, the representatives in county government, the representatives in state government, the people teaching in our schools, the business people who are, Colombia has a very, very strong and healthy business community, that they all understand and remember and almost have it in their bones about what a priceless place they are living and working in. This is a history as that I, when I hear you talk about Jim Rouse and how amazed you were to learn more about the history of Colombia, I can see this being taught 50 years from now. You know, there was this place 50 years ago, and we have the responsibility, I believe very strongly, to carry on those beliefs, those practices of Jim Rouse, which were to have social, economic, and environmental justice. And he did all three of them. And it's going to be, we're all going to have to be caretakers and watch out for this community that we are, I'm going to use the word blessed. I don't mean it in a religious sense, but that we are blessed to live and work in.
And if I could interject, as far as the fundamental founding vision and desire, Mr. Rouse and all of those who supported him, that's just what the archive does. I mentioned to you earlier that it's become my practice in the last year and a half that I refer to the documents in the archive as voices. Because when we are no longer audible, those documents are our voices. And so all of the components that you spoke about are in the archive. But they're in a way that the community has always been encouraged to donate their voice so that when they, like I said, no longer are audible, that the stories continue to be told. So we encourage people to donate. We encourage people to come and use the archive. Come and see yourself, because that was one of the also the other aspects of coming to this field I want, or into the Colombia archive, is that I want it to continue to look like Colombia. So as Colombia grows and more institutions come and more cultural institution or whatever it may be, that it's documented. I mean, it's such a rich collection. I mean, Mr. Rouse, as you know, when you came to see me, there is just hundreds of boxes related to his own legacy. Mm-hmm. And then like the next tier over, because just how archives are established, like the next shelving unit has all of the institutions that grew out of his vision. And so you have the thought of how he had the Columbia Foundation, and he basically was like, okay, so here's the 501c3 arm. So if you see an institution that needs to develop, here's some money. Let's go. I mean, it's really, he put his money where his mouth is. So it was, those are the stories. So I always tell people, I am not in the business of determining what the story is. The records do that. Mm-hmm. So we encourage people to come in and learn the stories, expound upon the story, invest in the story, invest in the voice, because this is your legacy. So how do we have a responsibility and accountability to our legacy, yet through having an institution like the Columbia Archive?
So someone's listening to this program and I hear from them, you know, what can I do? What can I do to help support the Columbia Archives?
Well, I'm sorry.
No, that's it.
Okay. Well, there's several things. We're continuing to take donations on the Columbia Archives website. We have a portion of our website that speaks specifically to the kind of collections and materials that we continue to want to build to make the collection more comprehensive. As I mentioned to you before, we have a collection called Miscellaneous Organizations, and it's 400 small collections, which means it may be one file folder, or maybe a small box, or maybe two boxes, but growing those collections. So come and talk to us about what some of those collections are, because they're organizations that either have existed in Columbia for many, many years, or maybe they only existed for a year. And some people don't even understand like the importance of documenting the organizations that fail. Because even the organizations, and I say fail lightly, because what it did was an attempt to do something for the community. And so come in, have those conversations with us, go on the website, you know, submit some ideas as far as what kind of public programming you would like to see. We have a program called Archiving the Arts. It's the it was a women's history program last year. This year we did our inaugural Black History program, Newtown Entrepreneurship, Early Black Businesses in Columbia. So we continue to use the collection to tell the story. But like I said, I'm not the one who's dictating what the story is. The records tell the story. Come and let the records feed your story.
Are you hearing from more people? Do you think the word is getting out about the fact that the archives are a living, breathing entity that they can play a role in fostering it and nourishing it?
I think some people have always been longtime contributors. And for those people, I say thank you and please continue to be that. But I would like for... I would like to think that the word is out, but having an opportunity like this, which I've thanked you and I will thank you on radio for these opportunities to help people recognize that they can have a vested interest in the establishment and maintenance of this history. So I can't really tell you. Well, I can say to some degree, I feel like I've had more interaction with people who may not have felt like their story was documented in the archive, whatever it may be. And then we've also taking the initiative, where a lot of people, it's been reactive. So they just knew that we were there, so they bring things. But this way, because of the goal I have to go out and like fulfill those 400, build those 400 collections that are very small right now, to find those institutions and talk to them about allowing us to be the repository. I think it's a growing, I feel good about it. So I don't know how, I can't say statistically, but I feel like people are getting more information and seeing how they can invest.
Well, your enthusiasm is certainly contagious. I mean, it really is. It's palpable, and I expect that it will take on and spread throughout the new town. I would think it would be easy for a resident of Columbia, someone who's been here from the inception, to think, oh, this is all very interesting. I'm really glad this is being worked on. I'm glad to know the archives are there and I can go and visit them. But is there a tendency of people to think that, well, I don't have anything I could add? I've just been a plain citizen here. You know, my kids were born here. They grew up here. And even people who have lived here a short time, it seems to me that someone who's lived here a short time and they've become aware of just what a special place this is. So,
yeah, you make a very good point. I mean, that's why, you know, sometimes people think archives and history and, oh, well, I have to be, you know, a notable person in history. But, I mean, when we really look about the stories of history, the most impactful are the grassroots movements. So a lot of times, you know, you may not understand the value of your presence in a particular community. So I always encourage people to not second guess. Just give us the opportunity to determine what kind of material should go into archive. Don't take it upon yourself, because you would be amazed of what is an archival document.
Okay. And as we wrap up, I don't want to end without mentioning where we are sitting and having this interview, in Howard Community College, which is a remarkable community college among the community colleges of the entire United States, just so strong in all kinds of programs. And I'm so glad I had an opportunity to interview you. I've been so enthusiastic about Columbia myself. I consider it an absolute blessing to live here. And you have awakened in me a realization that I want to pay even closer attention to the impact it's had on my lives and how I'd like to share that impact with as many people as I can. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Connect with us. We are Dragon Digital Radio.